ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
Well, understand, when it comes from God, it's a trial, it's a testing of our faith. But on the other end of the spectrum, what Satan does is he tries to tempt us to sin. It's the same trial. It's the same situation. What are you going to do about it? How are you going to respond? God is testing. Satan is trying to tempt. And it's important that we understand that there's a battle going on. God wants to build us up. Satan wants to destroy us. Again, you know, Job's life, all that he went through, a variety of trials here. In fact, no, they're multifaceted trials we go through. And the response to the trials he faced, the first group of trials, in Job chapter 1, it says, then Job arose, tore his robe, and shaved his head, and fell to the ground and worshiped. Can you imagine? He lost his children, his business, servants, and he's worshiping God. And he said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job did not sin nor charge God with wrong. Wow. Job's relationship with God was not based on what God gave him. That's what Satan thought. You take all this away, and Job will curse you. Satan found out, no, he didn't. I remember when we were living in Illinois, we was coming home from a prayer meeting, one of my buddies was driving me home, and we pulled, and there was a huge storm coming, and it was wind was blowing, and we pulled into my driveway, and someone's roof blew over my house. I'm like, oh my gosh, someone's roof just blew off. Did you see that? And we went in, and all of a sudden, we heard rain coming into our sunroom, and I looked in there. It was my roof. I'm like, oh my gosh, and Mike, who was the guy that was with me, said, the Lord give it, the Lord take it away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Wow. Like, Mike, I really don't need to hear that now. I need buckets. It's, yeah, I do. Exactly. Exactly. You know, as the story of Job goes on, we see that his health was affected. And let's face it, man. When our health is affected, it's hard, isn't it? What's going on? And we see the faith of Job. We see the faith of Job's wife. Job's wife said, do you still hold fast to your integrity? Curse God and die. She had the ministry of encouragement. Think about Job. He could have just, that's it. I mean, I lost my children, my family, my livestock. I lost everything. And now my wife, curse God and die? I give up. What else can I do? All this has come upon me. Job said to his wife, you speak as one of the foolish women speaks. Shall we indeed accept good from God, and shall we not accept adversity? And in all this, Job did not sin with his lips. Wow, that's a different response to the similar trial that this husband and wife faced. She sinned with her lips. He praised the Lord with his lips. You see, can you count it all joy as these trials come upon your life, knowing that God has a reason, he has a purpose, and we may not always understand it, and I think most of the time we don't, but can we trust him? Paul said in Hebrews, and this is from the Amplified Bible, now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see and the conviction of their reality, faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. Can you trust what God has said in his word? The promises he's given to you. Paul said, we know that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord, to those who are called according to his purpose. All things. I don't know how. That's where faith comes in, right? I don't know how all things are going to work together for good. And sometimes I look at it and go, man, there is no way. But God uses these things. And we may never know the good it brought. Maybe when we get in heaven we will. I don't know. But they are working for good. Warren Wiersbe said, "Our values determine our evaluations. If we value comfort more than character, then trials will upset us. If we value the material and physical more than the spiritual, we will not be able to count it all joy. If we live only for the present and forget the future, the trials will make us bitter, not better." And that's a perspective we need to have. We want to grow in the Lord because we are going to encounter trials in our life, and we may be in a big trial right now. We need to have the right perspective. And turn for a second to Romans chapter 8. In Romans 8, we're going to pick up in verse 18, where Paul said this. He said, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Isn't that interesting? What he's doing is saying, okay, all the things that are going on in your life, all the difficulty, compare it to the glory that is to come. And it's nothing, the stuff we suffer down here, compared to the glory we will encounter when we get to heaven. So for the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. And not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. For we're saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, then we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. I like that. I think that what God has in his word, we believe, and then something happens. And then our faith begins to doubt. How could this happen to me? I've been serving you, Lord. I've been doing this. I've been doing that. Job was a good man. All those things happened to him, right? So why not us? You see, Satan wants to destroy your faith. God wants to build it up. Who are you going to submit to? That's a tough one. Yeah, God. It's easy to say. But unless you surrender, it's very difficult to do. You lay it at the feet of the Lord. Lord, this is yours. I can't handle it anymore. And I'm giving it to you. And you know what? What happens is that burden is taken off your shoulders. You could breathe again. And there's that joy again. I love that. You need to have the correct perspective of the situation, putting the Lord back on the throne. And even if the trial that you're in lasts a lifetime, some of them do. When you compare that with eternity, what's ahead, Paul's saying there's no comparison. And sometimes it's so hard, though, because it feels like, will this ever end? Will this trial, will this difficulty, will this situation ever, ever end? You need to get refocused. Get your eyes on the Lord and rest in him and his word. So we've seen actually two of the points so far. Count it all joy in verse 2 as we're going through these trials. We've seen this testing of our faith, that God is testing us. And the third point is the results of that testing. When we fall into these various trials, God is working. The Greek word for knowing, gnosko, speaks of knowing something more than just information or facts, but from a personal experience. When my brother was younger and he didn't have any children, he saw our two boys running around being boys. Him and his wife would say, "My kids will never do that." And then they had kids. And Julie and I laughed. Because they now know through personal experience that it's not just that easy. Boys are boys. They do crazy things. And girls are girls, and they do other crazy things. Personal experience. What have you been through? When I'm going through something difficult, I like looking back. Lord, I saw how you took care of me through this last situation, how you brought me out of it. And it's encouraging me now. I know who you are. I know you're a God who loves me and will take care of me. And no matter how the situation works out here, I'm going to trust in you. I've tasted and seen that the Lord is good, and I'm sure you have too. I know it by experience. I know it firsthand. And now, no matter what I'm going through, I'm going to trust in him. Do I? No, I stumble too. I get frustrated. Then I have to get refocused. Isaiah 33:6 says, "Wisdom and knowledge will be the stability of your times and the strength of salvation. The fear of the Lord is his treasure." Wisdom and knowledge. Yeah, we need the right information. But then we need to apply it, the wisdom, to apply that to our lives. Knowing the truths of God, applying the truths of God to your life. Because God is testing our faith. And, you know, it's not that God's testing our faith so he'll know what's inside of us. He already knows. Why does he test our faith? To show us what's inside of us. So we can learn to trust in him. To grow. Faith is not grown through trials. It's tested through trials. Paul said in Romans 10:17, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Our faith grows as we read God's word, as we apply God's word to our lives. And the evidence of our faith is seen in how we endure trials. He's showing us what's inside of us, what we're made of. And James says that this is producing in our lives patience. It's a Greek word that speaks of active endurance, to remain under. And the picture is that of someone who is under a heavy load and they choose to stay there instead of trying to escape, instead of running away. Isn't it easier to run away from the situation? Sure. And God says, no, you need to go through this. Trials produce endurance or patience in our lives. And each time as we face a trial, as we endure it, our endurance is really strengthened here. Not our faith, but our endurance. We grow as we learn to depend more and more upon the Lord. To be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. A long-distance runner just doesn't, you know, if you want to run a marathon, 26.2 miles, you just don't go out and do it. You got to train. You'll make it a little bit, but you'll never make it 26.2 running. So you endure it. You'll learn. And James is saying that, you know, it's true of our race for Jesus, in a sense. Trials subject us to some pain, but it's designed by the Holy Spirit, our trainer, to build our endurance so that we finish the race he set before us. And Paul in Hebrews 12, verses 1 through 4, "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. Yet you have not resisted the bloodshed, striving against sin." So as you go through trials, you look at men and women of faith to encourage you. You let go of those things that are weighing you down. You put off those sins that are trapping you. You run the race to win, the race of faith. And who do you keep your eyes on? Jesus, the author, the one who set the trail for us to follow, the finisher of our faith, the one who will see us through to the end. Don't become discouraged, because trials, difficulties will come our way. We need to look to the Lord. And as we do that, joy will be seen in our lives. Don't give in, don't give up, strive to fight to the finish line. You know, David said in Psalm 40, "I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. He also brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my steps. He has put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. Many will see it in fear and will trust in the Lord." Hey, I like that. Hopefully spring will get here soon, and we'll start seeing the little caterpillars out there, and then they form their little chrysalis and then emerge as a butterfly, right? But that's a lot of work, isn't it? I mean, they have to get through that, and they're striving. It's tough. Here's the thing. If you help that butterfly out, get out of that chrysalis, you would destroy its life. It would never be able to soar through the sky. It was the difficulty, the struggle in getting out of the chrysalis that was needed for it to mature And I think the same is true in our lives as Christians. You know, we see this even with children. If we came alongside them and every time they faced difficulty, trouble, and helped them out, they'd never grow up. They'd never learn how to handle situations. And I'm not saying we don't help our children. Of course we do. But there comes a time where you have to let them fly like an eagle. I remember when I was 17, and I love my parents. My parents were awesome. I love them dearly. And, you know, my dad went and passed away, I don't know what, 10 years ago? No, 14 years ago. That's how fast time goes. My mom was an Italian mom. And she did everything for me. I'm sure when I was 17, she would have still wiped my nose. Okay? So when I graduated high school, I was only 17 years old. And I said, I knew, and I had a scholarship for track, and it wasn't a big school, but I had a scholarship. I thought that was pretty good because I wasn't going to get one for my academics. So sports was good. But I turned it down because I knew if I stayed close to home, I would never grow up. And I went all the way out to Arizona. My cousin Joe and I had a townhouse that we rented. And I grew up. I can't tell you how many clothes I ruined in the washer and dryer. But I learned. We learned how to cook. We learned if you don't clean up the kitchen, there's a lot of cockroaches that could come in into your kitchen. It's pretty amazing. So I learned how I grew up. Was it hard? Absolutely. You know, I couldn't call on the phone. I need money. I need this. I need that. They were, you know, what, 1,500 miles away or so. So we need that. One writer put it like this. He said, life on earth would not be worth much if every source of irritation was removed. Yet most of us rebel against the things that irritate us and count as heavy loss what ought to be rich gain. We are told that the oyster is wiser, that when an irritating object like a bit of sand gets under the mantle of his shell, he simply covers it with the most precious part of his being and makes of it a pearl. The irritation that it was causing is stopped by encrusting it with the pearly formation. A true pearl is therefore simply a victory over irritation. Every irritation that gets into our lives today is an opportunity for pearl culture. The more irritation the devil flings at us, the more pearls we may have. We need only to welcome them and cover them completely with love, the most precious part of us, and the irritation will be smothered out as the pearl comes into being. What a store of pearls we may have if we will. Yeah. Don't run away from trials. And again, it's an easy thing to do, but you'll never mature in the faith. You know, you've got to attack the problem head on and learn from it, grow, seek the Lord's direction. And I'll tell you what, if you run away from a problem, I don't care how far away you run. That problem is still with you. Why? Because you're the problem. You haven't dealt with it. And God will bring it up again, and you will have to deal with it. Why? Because he's maturing you in the faith. How important that is. And it's not always easy. There was a devotional I'm reading, and one morning I saw this, and I thought, wow, that's just what we're studying here. It said, many people have a view of the Christian life that is excessively idealistic. They think it should be one uninterrupted series of mountaintop experiences. They read Christian books and magazines and hear personal testimonies of dramatic events and conclude that this is all of life. In their dream world, there are no problems, heartaches, trials, or perplexities. There is no hard work, no daily routine, no monotony. All is cloud nine. And when they don't find their life fitting this pattern, they feel discouraged, disillusioned, and deprived. The true facts are these. Most of the Christian life is what G. Campbell Morgan calls the way of plodding perseverance in the doing of apparently small things. This is the way I have found it. There has been a full share of menial tasks, of long hours of disciplined study, of service without apparent results. At times the question has arisen, is anything really being accomplished? Just then the Lord would drop some token of encouragement, some wonderful answer to prayer, some clear word of guidance, and I would be strengthened to go on for a while longer. The Christian life is a long-distance race, not a 50-yard dash, and we need endurance to run in it. It's important to start well, but what really counts is the endurance that enables us to finish in a blaze of glory. Enoch will always have an honored place in the annals of endurance. He walked with God, think of it, for 300 years. But we need not think that Those were years of undiluted glamour or uninterrupted thrill. In a world like ours, it was inevitable that he should have his shares of trials, perplexities, and even persecutions. But he did not grow weary in well-doing. He endured to the end. If you are ever tempted to quit, remember the words of Hebrews. You need endurance if you are to do God's will and win what he has promised. A noble life is not a blaze of sudden glory won, but just an adding up of days in which God's will done. Absolutely. And our last one, which we'll deal with real quickly here, is leading to maturity in verse 4. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. The word perfect and complete. Perfect is mature, growing up in the Lord, maturing. Complete has the idea of fully equipped. You know, that tells me that the trials we're going through right now are preparing us for the trials that are coming. We're learning to trust in the Lord more and more. Peter said in 1 Peter 5:10, "But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you." Wow, just trusting in God, trusting in his word, growing, maturing in the faith. William MacDonald had this to say. He says, "Sometimes when problems come, we become desperate and use frantic means to cut short the trial, without consulting the Lord as to his purpose in the matter. By doing this, we actually may be thwarting God's program in our lives. And it's just possible that we may have to undergo a longer trial in the future before his particular purpose is realized in us. We should not short-circuit the development of endurance in our lives. By cooperating with God, we will become mature, well-rounded Christians, lacking in none of the graces of the Spirit." Let me say this. When something happens in your life, instead of getting upset and angry and frustrated, can you take a second and say, "Lord, what are you doing? What do you want me to learn here?" Because he wants you to learn something. You know, it's not like God just forgot about you. "Oh, no, what's going on with Joe? I didn't see that coming. Oh, my gosh." No, God knows exactly what's happening in my life. I don't understand it. And we'll talk about that next week. You know, if anyone lacks wisdom, let them ask of God. Wisdom of what? For the trials that you're going through. "Lord, I don't get this. I don't understand it. Help me. What are you showing me? What do you want me to do?" You see how important that is? And I guess this is the challenge to each of us, what we've seen here this morning, that we would count it all joy in the trials that come our way, that we understand that trials come upon our lives to test our faith, and that all that we go through are there for the purpose of producing results in our lives, that we endure till the end. And all that God is doing is leading to maturity and a completeness in our lives. You know, F.B. Meyer explained it like this. He said, "A bar of iron worth $2.50 when wrought into horseshoes is worth $5. If made into needles, it is worth $175. If into a penknife blades, it is worth $1,625. If made into springs for watches, it is worth $125,000. What a trial by fire that bar must undergo to be worth this. But the more it is manipulated and the more it is hammered and passed through the heat, beaten, pounded, and polished, the greater its value." That's what we're going through, isn't it? How long, O Lord, though? Wow, that's in God's hands. And he wants the very best for our lives. God is at work in our lives because he loves us. So whatever you're going through, never doubt his love for you. And then ask him, "Lord, what are you doing? What do you want me to do? What do you want me to say? How do you want me to respond in this situation?" Seek his wisdom as you're going through these things. As James said, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." Amen? All right, let's pray. Father, heavy lesson, Lord, because trials, difficulties, sickness, whatever is happening in our lives is very, very difficult, Lord. And yet you always tell us to trust in you, to look to you, to be the strength of our life. That no matter what we're going through, Lord, you are teaching us. And Lord, I pray for any who are struggling this morning that they are not tempted to sin, but their faith is tested and they grow, they mature through this time. encourage them, comfort them, give them the strength that they need. And may we look to you, the author and the finisher of our faith, the one who loves us so much, to see us through these things. Thank you for your love. Thank you for working in us, Lord, because we would never want allow these things to happen in our lives. But then we would never grow either. We would never be able to fly. And Lord, because of what you're doing, we can soar with the eagles. And we thank you for that. And ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with the eagles. Breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word?
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.